Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
It really doesn't work that way. There's just this thing about time. You have to do that time. You have to stay with him. You just have to stay. You know? And staying is not so easy. It's not so easy. But believe me, tomorrow is going to be a better day. Yeah. All through hell and high waters. But tomorrow is going to be a better day. And you are going to look back and you are going to smile. When somebody else tells you, oh, my life is over, you smile. Because you know what that means. And you've been there. You are not just speaking by faith, you have been there. And you can tell them, yeah, true, your life has ended, but God is going to bring it back. Hallelujah. That's why when we follow the Lord, we must seek for him with all our heart. And pay attention to the things that God says. Because those are the things that make it easy for supernatural intervention. There's a message of grace and mercy that I hear a lot. And while I believe in grace and I believe in mercy, but I do not believe mercy is reckless. Every time God chooses to be merciful, it's for a reason. It's not because he's bored. And sometimes you look at certain stories in the Bible where God had mercy on somebody that didn't even ask for it. And you want to be like that, but those are the exceptions, not the rule. There are certain people in God brings them into his divine plan and he decides to do certain things for them. Because of what he wants to do on the earth. But if you decide to copy those people, you'll be in trouble. For instance, Rahab, if you decide to be a prostitute and you are hoping that one day Joshua will come knock at your door and you help him, and then when they come to destroy the land, you'll be saved. You will not be saved. Because when you see Joshua, you won't even want to help him because the odds are against him. On your own side, you have this. The giants. You have an economy that is solid. On this other hand, you have two men representing a nation trying to look for somebody's land to take away. I hope you know the Israelites didn't have any land. They were looking for somebody's land to take away. So, you say, since you've left Egypt, that God promised you something, and it is my own land where I'm doing business. Irony. You can't say, you need to go to the next country there. I think there, they don't really have anything happening, so you can go there. But I can't help you. You will not be able to respond in faith like Rahab did. But you are here claiming Rahab. Some of us are even so proud that we can't even ask that somebody should remember us when he gets to his destination. That woman said to Joshua, when you come back, remember me. Excuse me. She said, don't forget me. And they told her, put a red cloth or robe, a scarlet robe, and once we see it, we'll know it's you. Now, excuse me, if there was anybody that woman liked, let's say somebody who fornicated more than the woman, like the woman that taught her how to be an adulterer and prostitute, the woman that taught Rahab, that means she the senior... major one, you know, a grandmaster. If that woman came into the apartment of Rahab that day, will she be saved? So that's mercy. You can contact mercy by being close to some people. Anyway, but that's not, I'm just saying that in the wider context, there are certain people, by virtue of what God wants to do with them, they may enjoy certain things if you copy them. But your own role in the program of God is not as significant as theirs, you may not escape with a lot of things. Because when it comes to the subject of mercy, God is the only one that knows the allocation he has given to everybody. Please, are you with me? I say when it comes to mercy, somebody may be sinning and committing sin, and God is patient. He's not patient. It's because God already knows the day he will give his life to Christ. If you try it, like the lady that was in this church some time ago, it was just once. She was 19 and she contracted HIV. Just once. Our friends were doing it and encouraging her. You need to get a boyfriend, you need to get a boyfriend. And they blessed her with HIV. So she has it. There's nothing. And it doesn't mean she won't go to heaven. It just means her journey will be very challenging. But it's been in Nigeria itself, not challenging. So no problem. We move. We move. That's not an issue. Numbers chapter 14. Now, before I read Numbers 14, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I will just read this quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 and 7. Let's quickly do 1 Corinthians 10, 6 and 7. Look at this. Speaking about the children of Israel, this is the part 6 of this message. Maybe this Sunday, I will just rest it a while. Then maybe sometime later in the year, we'll come back and look at these matters again. He said, now, these things were our example. Speaking about the children of Israel. Now, these things were our examples. Whose examples? Hello? Whose examples? To the intent, what is the purpose of God notifying us of these things? He said that we should not what? Lost after what? Excuse me, what were the things these people lusted after? Food. Huh? Didn't God give them manna? Huh? Just because God gives you something doesn't mean he approves of you. He says that we should not lust after evil things, the cucumber of Egypt, as they lusted. Verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. How did God describe their idolatry? Look at it there. He described the idolatry in what? The fact that they sat down to what? To eat. God didn't even talk about the idol that they were worshiping. God captured it. Because a lot of people will tell you that they are serving God. But when you capture their appetite, the things they are very passionate about, you can tell that it is not the same Jesus Christ. Right now in the world, we have a bunch of mixed multitude. So before you follow a person, whether as a pastor or whatever, you need to check his message. Most of the people you call prophets today that are popular online, are witch doctors. And please, I say that with every sense of responsibility. They are witch doctors. And they mix the gospel. They mix the gospel message with spiritism. If you don't understand what I just said, just write it, keep it somewhere. One day you will understand. They mix the gospel message with what? Spiritism. And I will come back and explain that some other day. And that's why they focus more on the externals, your phone number, what you ate last night. Those things don't mean anything. The person in your house could have told me. All right? And it's not that God cannot say those things. But that is not actually the errand of the prophetic. The errand of the prophetic is, first of all, to call men out of sin. Number two, call men into Christ. Not just out of sin, because sometimes they call you out of sin into another sin. You call men out of sin into Christ. That is the first errand of the prophetic. The second errand of the prophetic is to bring men into a deep relationship with God. All these things that I've said, have I said word of knowledge? Have I mentioned prophecy? But some people, and for those of you who have been here long enough, you will know that those things are not really the problems here. So for me to be telling you, I want you to please know that it's not, I'm not beefing anybody. I'm just telling you so that you will not be wowed. If somebody has been in this church for a long time and you go somewhere else and somebody is prophesying and you are becoming excited, then it shows that you have not learned anything here. Because here we feed on prophecy. So if you are excited that somebody outside is prophesying to you, then I'm sorry for you. You know it's not a beef. I prophesy. I can drop this thing and start prophesying. But today, I'm also aware that we are not alone. Again, we have people in our midst. They will tell you, go and bring salt. Go and do all these things. And everything they do, they cannot defend it scripturally. I heard one prophet yesterday said, everything is not in the Bible. And people shall preach, Papa. Preach, Papa. I'm not here for them, but I will come later for them. Numbers 14. So you have to be careful. I want you to know that when you spend your time on social media, you are consuming something. Huh? You are feeding, your soul is feeding on something. Huh? The reason why you keep going there is because you enjoy the taste of the food. The reason why you followed and subscribed to somebody's channel is because you enjoy the content from that channel. And the reason why you did not subscribe to some people is because, say, that man is a very hard man. He just has a gentle face, but his words are very difficult. Don't mind him. He'll just be cracking joke, but he'll be entering you. So you know why you are not subscribing. Numbers 14. Now in Numbers chapter 13, the Lord had rebuked them. This was when Moses sent the people out to spy on the land that God wanted to give them. And we've spoken a bit about that. But when they came back, they didn't come with a good report. It is the person who has sent you on a message you should be afraid of. Not the one that they sent you to. So when you go to the other man's house, you should be bragging because of the person behind you. Huh? In Yoruba land, when you are sent, when the king sends a messenger to another man's house, who may be an equally important person in the village, but the person that was sent is a slave, and that person goes with the staff of the king. You know what that means? Huh? That means it is the king that came to your house. You can't see the slave and say, Maruf, what are you doing in my house? What is the first thing that man will be required to do in Yoruba custom? He will prostrate before that staff. Huh? The reason why God defends his servants is because he sends them. Hallelujah. The reason why God will defend you is because you belong to him. So you must understand how jealous God is over you and go about in that consciousness. I'm telling you where the Israelites started making mistakes. And I will tell you the primary problem the Israelites had. So you can read up Numbers chapter 13. You will see a few things there. But in chapter 14, after God was upset with them, do you know that they didn't feel bad about what God said? They felt bad when 10 spies said, we cannot go in because of the sons of Anak, because there are giants. It's like you going for an interview and there are 15 people, and you thought you were the only one they invited, and you sat there discussing with some of the people, and then the first person, oh, what's your name? I'm Hannah too. Oh, really? Where are you from? So, I just came in from the U.S. I actually live in Miami, but I heard this role is for Africa, Middle East. You are from Miami. That means you schooled in the U.S., yes. So, okay, yeah, and I also have I was also at Harvard for like a year or so. You are from Harvard. Okay. You turn to the other person, you say, hello, hi. Now you look very pretty. Yeah, I said, what's your name? Say, I'm Joy. Joy, nice. You know, your own name is a problem because you don't have English name, you have native name. Nobody in China or South will be able to pronounce your name, so that already is a problem. Say, hi, Joy. So where are you from? Say, well, I did a bit in South Africa, for the last 10 years, I've been consulting in the UK. You've been consulting in the UK. And you drank anointing oil before coming to the interview. And your pastor told you, go and succeed. The pastor said, go and succeed. Hallelujah. So like, okay, you've spoken to like 2-3 people, like, wow. Harvard, Cambridge, London School of Economics. Is it for this Stanford? Is it for this small role? People there also. So you know, somewhere in your head, look, okay, let me describe the situation. Numbers 14:1. Let me describe what we are talking about. Look at this. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and what? They cried. When you saw the people that you'll be interviewed with, you started crying. Because the people wept that night. You should be preparing for your interview. But now, like, wow. HND. Owopoli. First degree. Ambrose Ali University. That's a state university. You applied to UI for masters. You didn't pass the exam. They did one small course. You say NIM. Doing NYC. You've been drinking anointing oil. All of you drinking anointing oil. Go and stop it. That is a chemical, you know. So you can understand why they are crying, right? These guys are giants. They are not nobodies. They built their city. They know how it works. Everything, when they go into that office, into the room, and they are being interviewed, can you share with us some of the projects you've worked on? They are talking about, oh yes, we had this project in Atlanta. You doctored your CV. So I was a video editor for Harvest World. I was a project manager. All the things you do in church, you now change the title. And say you're a project manager. Oh, so what's Harvest World? Okay, it's an NGO. It's a... some of you have done it. Oh my God. Oh, Luwa. Can you imagine? I didn't see this coming. Oh my God. Oh my God. Let's share the grace, please. And I didn't see this coming. Those of you at the media stand. there's trouble. There'll be workers with you after the second service, please. I'm just trying to tell you that, generally speaking, God will ask you to go into a territory for which there are giants. In fact, if there are no giants, there are higher chances you didn't hear God. So you don't need to pray. The moment you go there, everybody's shaking your hand and work. It's not, please start moving. That's not, you will not get anything here. Giants congregate around value, around resources. They congregate around where there is something to die for. You know, why are they here? They know there is milk and honey here. So don't be afraid. It's the person who has sent you should be looking at. A lot of us chicken out and look at the irresponsible people crying. So they are not even convinced that God, that, you know, they say, we just see giants, like, wow. it's good to use wisdom. You know, pastor, the Bible says wisdom is what? Profitable to that. There's a dimension of wisdom. Hallelujah. Then, oh, God, calm down. Maybe it's God that told you to come. Go for the interview first. Say, somewhere you are, you already know they won't take you. You are not thinking what is the God factor in this matter. You are not thinking that maybe the chief interviewer was once like you, a man without opportunity and God favored. And in all those 12, 15 people, he's looking for that person that reminds him of himself. Because already he knows all of you can do the job. He knows. Because when you lie and say, we had this project, a multi-million dollar prayer, we set up new business units in Lekki, in Benin City, and is it churches you are calling business units? Yes. He said, but you package it. Nobody's going to come here and say, sorry, there's this guy, John Ewuji, he applied for it. I won't deny you now. I'll tell you who is our chief project manager in our information technology team. I will help you. Then I will call you, Oga. Owoda, I don't talk. Make you come say to me. I will help you. I won't deny you. Don't worry. Just give me a soap. Then let me know what you wrote there so that I will know how to hype it. Don't go and say you are the senior pastor. Don't say you are the MDO. That one I'll deny. As you say, we are all business units. So there should be MD. I mean, don't leave my position for me. You can claim any other thing you want to claim. But seriously, there were guys that we've heard of who worked in churches in Lagos, then got opportunities to relocate to the UK, and their work experience in the church was what? So for those of you who just like sitting down, may you receive wisdom today. Amen. Uh-huh. So bottom line, these guys, if you read the last verse of chapter 13, what you find is that they began to weep. They were weeping in verse 1 because of the last verse of chapter 13, which was that there were giants in the land and there was no way they would be able to surmount that challenge. Verse 2. Let's read verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured. You see, this issue of murmuring. If God sends someone to you and you murmur against that person, you actually murmured against God. Nobody can see God. Huh? If I am willing to support you in any, maybe with a business or whatever, and you start telling me, hey, but pastor, this thing, I just say, okay, it is well. That's the end of that. I will even tell you to repent. We are not talking about it again. Because as far as I'm concerned, you are a very unserious person. You are just looking for free money. Even the anointing is not free. You fast and pray. The Holy Spirit came on Jesus when he was baptized. But power came after he fasted. Don't kid yourself. Anything of value will require a price. You will study. You will read. You will cry. How many of you ever studied and you started crying? You cried like it's as if, so I know no book again. Like, it just occurred to you, like, you are not smart. Please, who knows what I'm talking about? Like, people, like, you hype yourself normally, but when you read one particular chapter, it just was like, Nike, you are not as smart as you thought you were. You are just hypey. You are just vibing, but there's nothing there. No, between me and you, between me and me, God will help you. Just be praying for mercy. They murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation, say whole congregation, an entire church of 5 million people. This was a population of 5 million, a whole church. The thing about murmuring is that once you... For something to qualify as murmuring, it must have valid points. Please, are you with me? For something to qualify as murmuring, it must have what? Valid positions, valid points. And murmuring has the capacity to spread easily. The moment somebody gets up and says, we are not happy, somebody begins to demonstrate in Niger. Before you know it, Benin people will wake up. Before you know it, the only place you will not see protest is in Lagos. Because the average Lagosian is busy. He's following the money. To even protest, you need money. Because from here to stadium, in case they disperse you people there, you must have money to go back to wherever you are coming from. So you can do whatever you want to do, but stop at Ibadan. Look at what they said. Look at their murmuring. And I will tell you the primary problem of these people. Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? Sir, I want to ask you, what really are you trying to? Are you trying to kill us? We really don't understand you. I think just come out and tell us. Let's just die now. Huh? You ask for the job, but the only person that is not complaining are your friends. Every other person is shouting, crying. 1-5, 1-7. Huh? So, sir, were you sent to finish what your predecessor started? Tell us. So people started murmuring. And they said in verse 3, and wherefore had the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? They started imagining vain things. That, can you imagine, all these things he has been doing for us? He saw that giants can kill us. They never remembered how the Lord brought them out of Egypt without fighting one battle, without lifting up a sword. You think that the way your friends struggled is the way you must struggle. Sir, you can win a battle without shooting one bullet. And if you are going to be sincere with yourself, you have had some of those experiences where God just did it. They didn't remember how God brought them out. They didn't remember how God had been feeding them without walking. Huh? Not walking. God bypassed the law of the earth for them. Number 3, they didn't remember that God parted the Red Sea for them. But the moment God said, go and face the giant, they thought it was about them. The God that brought you that brought you out from Egypt, saved you, delivered you, told the Egyptians to give you gold, and parted the Red Sea for you, all of a sudden we abandon you. All of a sudden. The Bible said, do not forget his what? His testimonies. Do not forget what? Will I switch mics? Say, do not forget. Can you hear me? There's a loss of. Hallelujah. Are we good? Hallelujah. In verse 14:4. And they said one to another, let us make what? A captain. You see this issue of having a captain, having a king? It didn't start with Saul. Look at it here. We don't want a prophet. We want somebody that can rule us. Someone that can think like an economist. We want a president that is a university graduate. All our president before now didn't go to school. Then we gave you somebody that read zoology. And people say, enough. We don't want to graduate again. We went to get somebody who for 8 years was searching for his YX certificate. And the guy tried. At least he doesn't talk. He's not promising you anything. Any day you see him, you see him. You don't see him, you don't see him. Everybody, go and sort yourself. Then we brought an accountant. And in less than 1 year, the only area we expected would be okay economically. They let us get ourselves what? A captain. Blessed is the nation whose God is what? The Lord. Blessed is the family whose God is what? Any system established by God. If God is not the head of that system, there will be problems. So for you, brother, when you get married, don't kid yourself and say, I'm the head of this house. No. You must hand over that family back to the Almighty God if you want to have peace. Because when you have quarrel, you must have somebody to go and report to. Huh? Somebody that can control you and control him. So the husband is not, in that sense, the head of the house. The Lord God is what? The head of that family. Somebody say, where is it? Where is it? Okay. Look at what Moses and Aaron did. They fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Now, let me say this very quickly. The primary problem of the Israelites was that they were very carnal people. As long as God delivered, no issues. The moment God requires them to be responsible, there will be a problem. And for many Christians today, that is still the same problem. And God did it. Yes. You will post it on your status. By the way, let me say this. I hope you people know that this Bible we are all preaching, I hope you know there are many pastors who are also preaching the Bible faithfully, but they are not popular. I hope you know it's very possible your pastor could be one of them. I hope you know. I hope you know those ones that you follow, and I can mention names. They are popular because of you. He has come again. Ebenezer. Ebenezer. The first requirement to be a man of God is that you must lose yourself. But I can tell you for free, the day you are going to be in trouble, that apostle will not come to your aid. You can't call him. Except you are telling me you are not proud of your church or your pastor, that should be your first bias. Yeah. All right. We'll address that another day. But look at the response of our brother Moses and Aaron. When the people accused them, they didn't fight back. They didn't try to say, have you forgotten what I did for you? Have you done this? No. They went before their faces. Give me that scripture. They went before their faces, before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. What's the next verse saying? And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that said the land, and the moment Joshua and Caleb saw this error, they did what? They tore their clothes. That when did we get to this point? When we will compel our pastor to submit to us because of our disobedience. That this is not a natural order. God spoke and said, go forward. Was there any time God spoke to Moses and we didn't come back victorious? Why are we doubting now? Because of 10 men. 10 men. The power of a few men making a lot of noise. Oh, LGBTQ, ABCD, FGG, HIJK, QQ, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All of a sudden now, I hope you know that you cannot win a Grammy, is it Grammy or Globe Award? What's that body that gives award for movies? Oscar. Except you are what? Inclusive. They call it not gender inclusivity. They have this long term for it. In other words, what they are saying is that all your movies must be diverse. You must. There's a language. I don't know. My English is getting poorer these days. But we must see blacks, Asians, whites, British. You know, you just notice that almost every movie has a bit of everything. And your best actor, all of a sudden, will become gay somewhere in the middle of the movie. That's if you want to win an award, though. It's not a natural order. And these brothers, they tore their shirt. Give me the scripture. Verse 7. Now, when you look, oh, just stay here. When you look at that scripture, rent, it has an attitude. It's not just tear. It's like Okogan. If you know Okogan in those days, is it the one that tears his shirt? Or Ultimate Warrior? Okogan. He just does it with star. He just tear it. And the camera will just follow him. We used to think those things were like, I tried to tear my shirt. It wasn't easy as a child. That was the day I realized that the material, they don't carry you go. They don't, the thing is so one light that the moment, all you just need to do is just squeeze your face. And it looks like, wow. Like it's as if you know it's going to win before the fight starts. If you don't know Okogan, I can't help you. Look, give me that verse. And they spoke unto the company of the children of Israel. Let me tell you. How to dispel doubt. Start talking. The moment you notice there's something God has laid upon your heart, all of a sudden your husband starts pulling back. Start talking. Start talking. Don't let that thing spread. If not, you will sleep and wake up and say, hey, maybe we should try your way. No. The reason why we started this is because we believed God laid something upon our heart. There are ladies that God told them, for the next 3 months, dress well, use your makeup, even if there's nothing happening in your office, dress well. And brush your hair, you know, throw away that wicked wig and use something that is very nice, catchy. But the Lord did not tell them their husband will be coming to the office as a guest. That's the thing. God will not tell everything. It is when you respond. And that day will be a day that you will just be in your high spirit. You don't just go, hello, hi, good morning. This smile is from heaven. He's here to see your MDA. Say, sorry. What's your name? Say, Tinuke. Tinuke, this is your smile. I want to be seeing it every day. Eh? You are doing well. Give me your number. Eh? I just sent you 500,000. Of course, he won't say it like that. But you see, there's something about a pleasant spirit that attracts another pleasant spirit. This person is coming and he's just like, you are from Afia. You are from Isialam. He doesn't care. What he wants is that this happy face, I want to be seeing it for the rest of my life. But God will not tell you that. He will just tell you for the next 3 months, be happy. Be happy. Use your makeup. People ask you, is it your bed? They say, no, what? I just feel like that. Now, wow. Some of you go and borrow money, get new clothes. You are just looking sharp. But you don't need to tell anybody because it sounds stupid. But in the midst, you will finally see and find. what God is saying. What am I saying? God will require you to dress up for your prophecy. When you don't even have the promise yet. He will tell you to act like it. That's what faith is about. God will tell you to act like you have a brand new life. All your problems are over. Don't talk problems anymore. Act like everything is perfect. Act like you've been promoted. When you imagine yourself, see yourself at the top of the decision-making body in that organization. Not like a hand. So the board has decided. We are going to do it. No, we are the board. We are the ones deciding now. You imagine and see yourself there. Ever long before you even it begins to manifest. That is why speaking to yourselves in Psalms, speaking to yourselves in hymns, very important. The moment Joshua started speaking, the first thing he was trying to do was protect his own spirit. Because in the midst of numbers, you can be swayed. We are 12. 10 came back with a report. Is it possible that Caleb and I, we are biased? Maybe we are just being over spiritual. Why are we not just telling Moses what we found? Why are we being religious? Pastor Gwenga, we have to sound spiritual. No. We know we don't have the money for it. We know the resources are not there. But they say, go and check. Why don't you say, Pastor, this is what we found. The place is not okay. It's a good thing, but we can't do it now. Why can't you just be honest? Why are you talking faith language? We're in the business world. So somewhere in Joshua's mind, he needed to start speaking to counteract the effect of a popular opinion. And this is something you must learn. Hallelujah. Most times, the problem is not taking the land. Between the prophecy and the actual battle, there will be little battles you will have to fight. Like the battle of your own conscience. Second guessing yourself. Like, can I? If somebody makes you an offer and say, okay, because you're in Nigeria, we're just going to place you on a salary of $1,500. I agree. Okay, calm down now. You see, the moment you heard that, without even, permit me to use the word, pricing. I should use negotiate, but with that price, they say $1,500. How much is dollar again? You've not even been paid, though. You are saying. $2,250,000. $2,000,000. Alone in tight. Almost 225,000. Oh, this thing plenty. Now like this pastors they enjoy. Oh boy. Somewhere in your head, by the time you resume, you won't tell anybody you're going to enjoy. Just this is how I come to church on Sunday. They only promise you they'll pay you 1.5. You've not seen anything. No. You don't know if you are not even aware if the last person that was on that seat ran away because they didn't pay him. All you have is the promissory note that at the end of the month you'll be credited 1,500. And that other office article where you work till you die. When you get into the bus, you are finished. When you get to my husband and say, hey, this is, I beg, I don't have time. I can't. I'm a fighter, but I'm too tired to fight. You just carry your pillow and just sleep. There is something about being able to look and then telling yourself you deserve more. That even this 1.5 is just an offer. They can do better. Don't be moved. Your heart must love God to the point that money is nothing. If not, anything people offer you will sway you to move you. There are offers you should turn down. I said this story severally. When I got invited to Ogun State, to that state, and they wanted me to come and be praying for the governor and the governor's wife, and I'll be collecting like close to about 2 million, 2.5. I was still in the bank. How much is my a senior manager in my bank as I then was earning about 1.3 every month as I then. As I then, my salary was somewhere maybe 200, 250. Just because I went to preach somewhere in Ogun State and the PA to the governor's wife was there, say, come. We want someone like you. Prophesy, seeing vision. We need you. So what do you think I'll be doing? Weekend. The man even came to my church and announced that you won't be seeing this man again. We are moving him to the government house. He came. I was not surprised. God said, don't go. Even after the public announcement, when they laid hands on me and released me to become a prophet to governors and nations in my church, when they take it, we release you. This is our mandate. We send people to the nations of the earth. God said, don't go. That hand they laid on you, that release is fake. If you go, you will not come back. I'll be here. So God is not a killjoy. For whatever it is worth, He preserved my life. Don't be too quick to see any offer as fantastic until you have checked with the Lord. Sometimes the Lord may require you to take a lesser offer. Sometimes. Not all the time. I say sometimes. Because some people now, they only believe, someone else give you 500 and I say no. Pastor say lesser offer. You have your own, no. I just... In verse 9, 14:9, look at the language that was used. It said, only rebel not against the Lord. That means everything they was saying to Moses, to Joshua, God called it what? Rebellion. The journey from Egypt to Canaan land was 40 days. It took them 40 years, and none of those who left entered the land. That is just a sign to let you know that while God is very caring, He doesn't waive His standards. If you want to come in, you come in on His own terms. The way many people feel God is very harsh and wicked, but when they go to Songo and go to all those idols, they will fulfill all the conditions and they do more. Please understand these things. Look at verse 11. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed amongst them. That means that miracles do not always produce faith or lasting faith. Huh? Miracles do not always produce lasting faith. It may produce faith. I was preaching him, and the second in command in that, in that meeting, about it was a pastor's meeting of about maybe 1,500. The man was so, you see, because in that meeting, after I finished preaching, so I started praying for those who are sick. This, everybody has a pastor, a pastor's wife, or a leader. And people on wheelchairs started getting up. People who could not bend for years started bending. And in that meeting, a man challenged me. You prayed for this woman, she got it. I have pain in my heart, it's still there. See, I will not agree. I will not agree. Ah, I said, how did this man get here? He doesn't look like a pastor. But I'm talking about open challenge. You understand? Open challenge. The man said, no, you must do something. No, I'm not the healer. I said, okay. And the chairman, the pastor, Reverend Lovenda, were there. They did like this. Wicked people. And I said, okay, put your hand on your chest. You know, in my heart, I said, Baba, wherever you are, I need you now. Because this one, it will finish my testimony. So I laid hands on him and I prayed for him. Simple prayer. And I said, check yourself. He said, he just hugged me. I said, Ogbel. In my heart, I said, Ogbel. Fair boy, Jaja. He was a smiling market. The moment there was another man with two women with large goiters, the thing vanished. I just said, why you Allah? Why you Allah? Why you Allah? Why you Allah? The thing was gone. Like it was, I was not casting out, it was just a simple prayer. Like, even me, I now stepped back. I was seeing how God was doing it. And I realized that if God wants to perform miracles, he will do it. Most of the time, our presence is too much for him, so he can't come in. That's why the first requirement to be anointed is to lose yourself. To carry God's image, you must lose your own. And I hope somebody's hearing this, because this doesn't have to, you don't have to be a pastor. This is just there in the Bible. Most of us are too strong for God to use. So for God to use us, he will first pass us through tribulation. Then when we now say, God, unto you I surrender, then they will start something. Look at God visibly angry with the people he led out. That means nothing angers God than lack of faith. Nothing makes God angry. Like what? The lack of faith. The reason why we know of this now is because it was recorded. But many of you, there are people listening. That's the area of specialization, making God angry. Anytime they wake up, how can we make him angry this morning? That's the only thing they know how to do. So he started telling Moses, let me smite them with pestilence. And let me disinherit them. See that? Very strong words. God said, I want to what? Disinherit them. That's very strong. God forbid. Come on, say God forbid. God said, I want to disinherit them. Meanwhile, some people are going about saying, you can't lose your salvation. There are things you will do. Eh? You will disinherit yourself. And I will make of you a greater nation. Now, God was suggesting to our brother that let me raise a new generation from you. Isn't that a good proposition? Since you have been listening to me, let me raise. But I hope you know that there was no guarantee. Because God did not even find a worthy successor in the children of Moses. That's serious. That's why it's not guaranteed that, because somebody is a pastor, his children will be pastors. Most of the pastors, they just enjoy their father's anointing. God can't use them. Because they don't know what it takes. Most of the time, we protect our children from our suffering. So, God can't use them. You just go and join the workforce. And anything you can do, do. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians will hear it. Verse 13, for thou brought these people out in your might from amongst them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among these people, that thou, Lord, hast seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by day time in a pillar of cloud, and by a pillar of fire by night. What verse is that? Verse 14. Okay, verse 15 now. Now, if thou shalt kill all these people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of you will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring these people into the land, which he swore unto them. This is what people are saying today. That's why he killed them. No. The prophecy did not fail. Laws were broken. The prophecy did not fail. Laws were broken. If somebody has received a prophetic word and somewhere in between gets caught in the middle and the person, for instance, dies, it's not the prophecy. Most people really don't know how to interact with prophecy. The only thing they know how to do is to say, prophesy, Papa. They don't really know what to do with it. Next verse. And I beseech thee, Lord, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering. See, he started appealing to God. This is a leader. The man is angry, but before God, he was defending them. When he went back, when Moses went back to the people, he was angry with them. If you read that story completely, when Moses stood before God, he was begging. But when he left there and went back to the people, he became angry. Those, if you say you really love somebody and you can't be angry at that person, your love is fake. Bottom line. Let's round up here. Bottom line. The first scripture I read to us this morning is that all these things were written in the scriptures, in the Bible, as examples for us. So that when you study these things, you can see how God relates with man. And you can take a posture, a decision on how you want to be close to God, how you want to walk with God. It's a personal decision. Do you know what God said about Joshua and Caleb? He said, these ones have a different spirit. You know what spirit he's talking about? A spirit that cannot be easily influenced by popular culture. It's not a spirit that is easily influenced. Instead of worship, we have entertainment. Pastor, that's what people are doing now. People vibe. People are on the altar singing praise worship, and they have their cameras doing like this, and then they post it on Instagram after the service on the altar. Some even give the ushers the camera. And you'll be like, they'll post the thing and say, this is how we went to church today. There's no problem with that. But you see, when you have what it takes to withstand trend, popular culture, God says you have. But before he makes that statement, do you know God the Father washed his son for 30 years? Before he said, this is my son. I'm not saying yours we have to take that length of time. Okay, leave this his childhood period, season. From age 12, when he ran away. See, you are not the first person to run away from church. Even Jesus ran away. And his parents came back to look for him. Just make sure when you run, you come back. You understand? This man ran away. Because all of a sudden, somewhere in your heart, my mom is not as spiritual. That's why many of you ran away from Anglican church. You see? Because when you just woke up and realized that all the things they are even doing in this church, they'll collect offering 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then you saw your mom. She would take the 1,000 naira, 100, 100, 100, 100. And your mom is always coming out and dancing. Like, mama, she better quite low. Like, mama says she doesn't have money, but she will still dance around. And they don't miss any of those things. So you must be ready. If you are coming to our church, when it's offering time, offering for elders, offering for this, you will dance. And the day I go to one of those churches, I will have my money ready. And I will dance. And I will drop my offering. The annoying ones are those ones that after they drop the offering, they will not move forward. They will not be dancing there. They will not be dancing. Now make you that you are behind them look as if you are not grateful to God. Eh? You know those people now? They will dance. But you know, so you two will not be doing like, so you have to look at, if you go there, be careful of who is in front of you. You have to watch that person so that they won't make you look like, oh, dupe lord olorun, that because of your 1,000 that you cannot dance. And those people that are dancing, they don't have 1,000. You have 1,000 and you manage yourself. If this one has 100 naira, she will not let you rest. So there's quite a bit about church life and community lifestyle, community faith, community posture, community anointings, community grace, that as a people of God, we must learn to appreciate. Bottom line, we need men like Joshua, and we need more men like Caleb. Caleb was very quiet, but his spirit was strong. And somewhere at the age of 80, the brother rose up again, and he said, I'm 80. He said, but what? Huh? He said, I'm still strong. I'm still strong. Give me this mountain. Ah! God not only preserved his life, God preserved his strength. He was as strong as a 40-year-old. Ah! Speak your word, O Lord. You see, when God blesses you, when God is happy with you, it preserves your human. It preserves you in such a way that you are not fading away. You are not fading away. There are people that are popular and the day they die is the day their name vanishes. I don't want to be like that. God will give us men like Abraham, men like Joseph, who are in the corporate world, the business world, the political space, and their names were, their legs were deep in the presence of God, and they were so useful in making people's lives better. But that takes a whole lot. God must be able to look at you and say, I trust this one. The moment God gets to that, that was the primary reason why no demon could look into the face of Jesus and resist him, because God trusted him. So you must receive that grace to follow after men and avoid things like murmuring and doubting God. If God says he's going to make your life beautiful and give a brand new beginning, I want you to believe him and trust him, because he is the one who can make it happen. Say, for behold, I make all things new. Say, I make all things. The pain of your past, the sin of your past, he said, behold. See, I make all things about your life new. Nobody will remember the Shade of years ago. What they will remember is this person that God has favored. And in this light, I urge you, children of God, let's not play games with God again. Let's not play games with God again. If you serve him with all your heart while your world long, you will see the glory and the power of God. If you serve him with all your heart, if you love him, let your service be a product of your love. Let it flow out of your love for him. Not because you want somebody to appreciate you. When you choose to be a Christian, let it be because you know who he is, and not because of the family you come from where everybody is a pastor. Let Jesus become the primary reason why you do all the things that you do. And I tell you, whether in this life or in the world to come, just give him time. 5 years is too much. Jesus can change everything about your life. Jesus can change everything about your life. But you must do your part. Then let him do his part. Hallelujah.